Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anna Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
You start.
Look how tasteful my lighting is. Do you see how tasteful my lighting is?
That's nice.
I've got this beautiful backlight.
It's very nice.
Lighting off of me.
You look great. I've
got diffuse lighting coming from the front.
It's
Jesus.
Good. Again, that's something that our listeners can't share with us. So it feels like a little bit like bragging in a way that people who are listening are going to be like, I would love to see that. And
yeah, you
listeners,
would love to see it.
Let me
you
tell
would
you,
love to
you
see
would
it.
Love to see it. It's glorious. It looks fucking Rembrandt.
I look good. Yeah.
It's the fucking chiaroscuro. That's getting me, you know, on your face.
Oh, right. Yeah. The
just the way the colors.
V.
Yeah.
One half of my face cast in shadow. You see the black V?
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Hi, and welcome to. What's the name of the show? Babysitter's Club.
Club.
Friends Forever.
Okay.
Is that what we call it?
You do it. If you're doing it, do it.
My name, Tanner Greenring.
And I, Jack Shepard.
Each week, we talk about the Babysitter's
Club.
Okay,
wait, I'm
going to
stop you because
books.
I said, can we do a parallel? Can you say, and I, Tanner Greenring?
What? Well, I said, my name, Tanner Greenring.
Yeah.
It's like a Borat thing. My name, Borat.
Okay, my name, Jack.
Okay.
Yeah. Each week.
Each week, we talk about a book in the sitter cycle, starting with Babysitter's Club, and then obviously moving on to the Babysitter's Super Specials, and then obviously the Babysitter's Club Mystery Books, and then obviously the Babysitter's Club Portrait Collection, and then the Reader's Requests, and then the California Diaries, and now the Friends Forever series is what we're on now.
Yeah.
We read a book this week. It was good. I don't remember the name of it. And it
okay,
was
no,
by
we gotta say the name.
Anne Martin.
Oh, do you want me to do it? Because you took it from me, and then you've done a bad job.
You left it sitting there for me. I didn't want to do it. We started the show, and you're like, blink, blink, blink.
I wanted to give you an opportunity to speak up, and it seems like that was a mistake. Can I say the book?
Yeah.
The book this week that we read is a novel that is called Friends Forever Number 3, Marianne's Big Breakup. And who is it written by? Suzanne Wayne. But who is it really written by? Who's the fucking puppet master behind the curtains? Who's the fucking Wizard of Oz who's taken Suzanne Wayne and manipulating everything she does and says from the safety of the shadows where she lives? It's the hand that shakes. It's Big Anne. It's the princess of the Prince of Towns. It's St. Annabelle Matthews Martin. It's the Stormborn, Soul Skinner, Mother of Clocks, and Bane to Baths. It's the first of her name, the last of her kind, the last hope for humankind. It's Anne Francisco.
Oh, right.
It's Eth Ann, Stacy's boyfriend.
One sec.
She's everywhere. She's watching you right now. It's Big Anne.
Big Anne.
It's
Logan.
Logan. Or Marianne.
Logan M. Martin. Or Marianne M. Martin.
Yeah. And she's here.
It's both. It's Logan M. Martin and it's Marianne M. Martin.
And yes.
And there's a schism.
Yeah. And the split sides of her personality are warring with each other.
Mm.
It's like Fight Club, isn't it? A lot.
It's a little bit
and
like
spoilers
Fight Club.
For Fight
a
Club.
A lot like Fight Club.
Yeah.
Sorry, I said a little bit. I meant a lot.
Yeah, it's exactly like Fight Club, isn't it?
And actually, this is IP Freely and
yeah.
Chuck Palahniuk or whatever your name is.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble, and you'll be hearing from our attorneys.
Yeah.
Jack, I'm a Suzanne man.
And I'm a Wainiac.
Yeah, I know that about you.
Yeah, a lot of people say that about me.
Yeah.
It's a real Wainiac.
They take one look at you, and they size you up, and they say, that guy looks like a Wainiac.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Suzanne man, and this book was written by Suzanne Wain.
Yeah, and she did fucking fantastic job, and I loved it. Can I say that?
Oh, you loved the book?
I loved it. I loved this one.
It was a little too...
sad?
Sad and angry, and it was a bummer. It was a bummer, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
It was a bummer, and...
It bummed me out in a way that I didn't expect it to.
And I hopefully we'll get into this, but... I particularly felt bad for Logan.
Okay.
In this one.
Okay. So you're taking Logan's side? Because everyone chooses sides this week. It's you, it's Lou Greenberg.
It's, what's the other guy from Logan Bruno, Boy's Babysitter? It's like Jim something.
Oh, right. I don't remember.
I can't remember his name, but it's like one of his football bros. Who's like...
Yeah.
An asshole in Logan Bruno Boy Babysitter and an asshole in this, but at least it's like standing up for his boy and like right. Gives Marianne a dirty look.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't want to be the guy who's like, there aren't many guys in these books about girls and I like take their point of view.
You
but
do often
sometimes
do that, yeah.
I am and do. And I feel like by all, here's what I want to say.
Okay. Careful.
But, okay. No, I'm treading carefully here. Marianne, by all means, break up with Logan. Please do.
Or don't.
If you're not feeling it.
He's a nice man.
No, yes. If you're not feeling it, you don't have to go out with him.
So dreamy, too, though.
He's good looking, and he talks like Cam Geary. But he looks like Cam Geary. He talks like Logan.
I don't think it's ever been confirmed that he talks like Cam Geary.
But, like, also, I guess he's a little overbearing. Now that I'm thinking about it, he is a little bit like... So, are we unbroken up every time they, like, have something approaching a reconciliation?
Oh, yeah.
Which is annoying and not my favorite. But on the other hand, Marianne is, she's like, why is Logan being so cold towards me the day after I broke up with him out of the blue?
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
He's been nothing
like,
but...
give him a minute.
I don't want to defend Logan.
Okay.
And you've sucked me into this...
Yeah.
This trap.
Yeah.
With your...
By snaky words.
You're like, you put on lipstick and like a red dress and you were doing like, ooh, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Bugs Bunny.
Uh-huh.
And you've sucked me into your little trap now, but Logan was being nothing but supportive to Marianne for the last several weeks since her house burned down.
Yeah, it did feel that
way.
He's
been there for her. He's been caring for her. He's been extremely attentive.
Yes.
Open, sensitive.
Yeah.
And this is the thanks he gets broken up with?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. But I think that the reason is something that goes back to one of the squeakles to this novel, which is Marianne versus Logan, which has been a through line in their relationship, which is that Marianne doesn't feel like she's a whole person when she's with Logan.
A whole person? What does that mean? Someone who lives in a hole?
No, with a W.
Okay. Whole.
A whole person.
Whole person. Yes. Okay.
I don't know what it would be like to feel like you're a whole person with an H.
Someone lives in a hole.
You know who is a whole person? It's Jake Kuhn.
Jake Kuhn was a whole person.
Yeah.
Yes.
And,
he lived in a hole for like 3 days.
Christy and the missing child.
Yeah.
He is a whole person. But mm-hmm. No, so... I can't speak to that experience, but Marianne feels like Logan takes up more than half of the space in their relationship.
Yes.
And I understand that.
Okay.
I get that.
You're saying you understand where Marianne's coming from, feeling like she has an overbearing partner who erases their identity and experience.
That is not the case.
Is what you're
in my
saying?
Relationship.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Do you want me to say something to Sarah?
No, I'm saying that I can understand what it might be like.
I'll text her.
Okay, that's great. Please do not. She's making me dinner at this very moment.
Oh, and she gets to decide what's for dinner, huh?
But so I don't want to go overboard in defending Logan, but I did feel bad for him this week because Marianne just dumps him and he's very fucking sad. And he doesn't get, like, his football bros are supportive and Christy is supportive, but Marianne is not. My criticism of Marianne is just that she is not particularly alive to the fact that it might suck to get broken up with by your girlfriend of, I guess, only less than a year.
Yeah.
Though for us, it feels like longer.
And I have a question about Amber Theory, actually.
Yeah.
Does it feel like longer to them as well?
I've got a lot of thoughts on Amber Theory this week. I mean, the thing about Amber Theory is, like, to us, we have an omniscient view of these books, right? So we know that they're repeating the same year over and over. So for us as readers, as viewers of the snow globe that they live in, we know that they've lived more than 1 year. To them, it feels like only 1 year, but it must feel weird because so much has accrued inside that year. Like, all they still have all the experiences of 10 years, you know? And so it must feel like she's been with Logan for 10 years, even though technically it's only been a year. And you can feel that in, like, because they're all the, like, Babysitter's Club members are like, holy fuck, you're breaking up with Logan? You've been together for so long. Which, like, wouldn't be the case if, in fact, real time had occurred and she had only been with Logan for 8 months, you know?
It's like, we've only been together for 8 months, but we've been to the Halloween Hop, like, 10 times.
Yeah. Well, and so the Halloween Hop, and we do need to describe this book, but I'll just get into it since we're talking about it. The Halloween Hop, as you know, and as anyone who's read The Sitter's Cycle knows, is a waypoint.
Yes.
There are a few moments in the infinity of years that the Babysitters lived in before the amber started to melt in the Friends Forever series.
Right.
That are like, are points in time that are significant and change the course of history, even though they're repeating each year. And one of those waypoints is the Halloween Hop. And this book, fittingly, is written around Halloween. It's in October. And the Halloween Hop famously is where Marianne and Logan had the dance, where Marianne threw her shoe at him.
Yes.
But it was like, it's a very important moment in their relationship and their
love. I don't
love
to.
Yeah.
Get in your way.
Okay.
But I feel like I am a Babysitter's Club scholar and I'm a responsible journalist.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, and I apologize in advance because I know it's going to throw a wrench in everything you're about to say.
Okay.
It's not Halloween.
It's October.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
The dance they're all going to is the spring fling.
No, it's the fall fling.
The fall fling?
Yeah. This book is in October.
It's not the spring fling?
No, it's the fall fling. And this is the point.
Jesus, you're right.
That I want to make. Yeah, and I'm the Babysitter's Club scholar. This is the point.
Oh, my God.
In this version of reality, they don't even have the Halloween Hop. They have a dance that's called the fall fling. We're out of Halloween Hop. It's over. It never happened.
Well, yeah, okay, so... I don't want to get in. I don't want to get too deeply entrenched in
Amber Theory, which we're going to have to talk about because this is what Anne is confronting.
Because there's cracks forming.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The whole thing,
Marianne,
is falling apart.
Has visions.
Yeah,
of herself in the future, and it's like that is the light of the outside world shining into this opaque dome that's been around these girls in Stony Brook for so long.
Yeah.
But we can't talk about that right now. We need to talk about
describe
the book.
Let's describe the
plot of the book.
Okay. Let's describe the book. What I think we should do is I should describe it and then you should describe it. We should do it twice.
Okay. Is that advised or?
I think it's necessary. It's written.
Okay.
It's written in the stars.
Okay. I am willing to. I'm not happy about it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so what I'll do is I'll describe it. I think nowadays you mute yourself.
And I'll mute myself.
Okay.
Soon we'll have mixers, and I won't have to mute myself on Zoom.
Oh, yeah, we
Isn't
got
that
a mixer.
You can just turn me down on your mixer.
Oh, that's going to be too much power.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm muting myself.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to describe this novel, and then I'll have Tanner describe it, and I'm going to begin now. It was a love that spanned the ages. A burning passion that lit up the very sky. It was Heloise and Abelard. Romeo and Juliet. Pyramus and Thisbe. Paris and Helen. Bert and Ernie. Ross and Rachel. All rolled into one. It was a love that grew so big, the world itself might burst with the weight of it. It was destiny. It was fire. It was everything. And then it was over. Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever, number 3. Marianne's Big Breakup.
And I have unmuted myself.
Yeah, thank you.
Because I didn't want to get in the way. I didn't say anything that time.
That's great.
I hope that's okay.
No, I think that's actually preferable. Honestly,
yeah,
it's preferred. Yeah.
Do you wonder if the title of this book is a pun? Like, it's someone's big break up.
Oh, so Anna's trying to Anna's trying to like get her hopes up, where she's like, "Oh, we'll do a fun one. Marianne's big break." Up.
Yeah.
I think that is what it is.
That sucks.
And come on.
It sucks that you did that to Marianne, Anne, yeah. And Suzanne.
Yeah, and Logan.
Yeah, and Logan. And it sucks that you did that to us, because I read this book title and I'm feeling good and hopeful.
Yeah.
Because I know that Marianne and Logan have been on the rocks lately.
Yeah. And you traditionally, you'll read the first 5 syllables of a title and then just like take a fucking break.
Yeah. It takes me a little while. I'm not a fast reader.
Yeah.
I do the thing where I read each word out loud in my head.
Yeah.
So I'm not a fast reader, so I read Marianne's Big Break.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus.
That's awesome. Like, go talk to Jamie about it.
I don't think of her as like a creative person, you know? Like,
yeah.
What is she getting a big break in?
Yeah. This is going to be so fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I come back.
Come back. You've grazed on it for a little while, and then you're like, oh.
I started writing down some notes.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is something we can have fun with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fucked
up. How's she going to break out?
Yeah. That sucks. That does suck, Anne. I think that what you should do is describe the book, and then we'll do it in 60 seconds, and I have a big bad clock, and you do it during the 60 seconds of the big bad clock. What do you think about that?
Okay. What did we do for the super specials?
90 seconds.
I got 90 seconds, but what was the clock?
It's just a 90. Oh, wasn't there a whole fucking world of playing fucking video games and shit?
What? No, that was 60 Second Burger Run.
Yeah.
That was the super specials.
I don't know, man. Who fucking knows?
Will you play 60 Second Burger Run?
No, fuck you.
Play 60 Second Burger Run.
Fine.
It's Oops All Segments.
Oh yeah, I forgot. It's Oops All Segments. We can do any segment we like. I'm gonna go play 60. Didn't they shut it down on Cool Math Games?
You have to like sign in, but maybe they won't make you do that anymore. Maybe they realize the error of their ways when their fucking viewership dropped to 0.
After we fucking called them out. Okay, I'm gonna play 60 Second Burger Run, and during those 60 seconds, what I'd like for you to do is describe the novel. I've got to watch a 10-second ad. If you want to start.
Okay.
While I watch
Marianne is feeling bad because Logan is dominating her life in a way that she doesn't like and making a lot of decisions for her. She decides that she's going to break up with him, and she does. They go to Chez Maurice, and she just kind of speaks her mind and says, "I'm breaking up with you." He seems very hurt by it. He keeps trying to get back together with her, but she feels very confident that this is the right decision because she's finally discovering who Marianne really is. She has a conversation with a gardener, a landscaper, who's working on their new house, who says, you know, like, don't be boxed in by anyone. Like, learn how to be yourself. And she really learns a lot from that. So a bunch of dudes ask her out to the fall fling, including Pete Black and Dave something. And she says no because she just wants to be herself for a little while and doesn't want to be attached to anyone and doesn't want to be Marianne and the Babysitter's Club or Marianne and Logan. She just wants to be Marianne Spear for once. They're doing a good job building up the house. It's looking great. And she confronts Carrie and Hunter Bruno and says, no, we're still friends, me and Logan. Logan comes over and watches a movie at one point, a Robin Williams movie, and it seems like they could be friends, but then Logan tries
God
to get back
it.
Together
Fuck.
Again.
It's
and,
over.
And
time is over. I failed.
It's a pretty dense text this week.
I forgot
I kept
how
thinking
to
of things
do
that
it.
Happen.
I forgot how to do it because I had got to a point where I could get to like the final level and just like you know yeah. you're like going on those disappearing blocks.
Yeah, it's kind of you got to know
I
the
forgotten,
tricks.
I remember the early tricks and then I forgot the third level like exactly where to go down on the bricks. But
right.
What were you saying?
Nothing important.
Okay.
I also described the plot of the book, which you
oh, sweet.
You did, so it's like it doesn't actually matter
yeah.
that much.
And I read it too.
You read the book?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so you don't even need me to describe the plot.
Yeah.
The
I'm a major Waniac, so I'll read anything she fucking writes. So
is that
really,
true?
Yeah.
If I go to Suzanne Wayne's bibliography right now, you've read it all?
I've probably read like a large percentage of the books that she's written.
Okay.
Yeah. No, okay. Don't fucking test me on it. Come on. We can do better
Gatekeeper.
Than that.
Gatekeeper.
Come on.
Suzanne Wayne. Do you, so what is it? This is trivia?
Yeah, and only ask me about Babysitter's Club books.
No, you said you read anything she writes.
I would.
Okay, so published in 2004 by Scholastic Point Thriller, what is the first book in the Barcode Tattoo trilogy called?
The Girl with the Barcode Tattoo.
Bam, wrong. Barcode Tattoo. Idiot.
Okay.
Published in 2013 by Scholastic Inc., what is the first book in the Haunted Museum series called?
The Haunted Museum.
Wrong. Wrong. Beep. Idiot. It's the Titanic Locket.
Okay.
One okay,
more.
Here's
one. One more. One more. And if I get God, it,
this
I win.
One sounds.
If I get it, I win.
So good. What I assume is her first novel, because it's listed as her first novel on her Wikipedia page.
Okay.
What is... Oof, I want to do two more, because I found another one that I want to do.
Fine!
What is... what Suzanne Wayne
okay.
wrote a book...
Okay.
...about a yeah. popular children's television series. And it was her okay. first book, according to her Wikipedia page. And what was
it's like a
called?
Novelization, or it's like about it. It's about it's like an imaginative fiction about that series.
I believe,
yeah,
it is an imaginative fiction about the series.
Popular series of what decade?
80s.
Magic School Bus.
Magic School Bus was the 90s.
Danger Mouse.
The first book that Suzanne Wayne ever wrote was called Return to Cybertron.
About the fucking Transformers?
The second book Suzanne Wayne ever wrote was called The Revenge of the Decepticons.
Fuck, dude. Now I'm a bigger Waniac than I was before. Holy shit, that's fucking rad.
Wow, she's written a lot of books. The one I was going to ask you about was she wrote the film novelization of Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Okay. Can we
but she
a...
also wrote the juvenile film novelization of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
She's amazing. What a fucking talent. Can we do an episode where we read one of her Transformers
She's
books?
Amazing.
She's amazing. Yeah, amazing.
I would love to read these two Transformers books.
Oh, and I should say, I meant to say this before, and for some reason I fucking didn't, but I am Suzanne and the Membrane.
You are Suzanne in the Membrane. I was wondering, because I was sort of prompting you earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not books. Wait. I Googled them.
Yeah.
No, they're sticker books.
Fuck yeah.
Sticker Adventures, The Transformers, The Revenge of the Decepticons. And wow. I think it's like a coloring book, but instead of coloring it, you put stickers on it.
That sounds awesome. Wow. Wow.
Here's a selection of okay. Suzanne's writing from Revenge of the Decepticons.
Okay, you get one more thing you're allowed to say. Okay, let's hear it.
It's a man. Well, I'm going to send you the link because I don't actually know who this oh no, I do know who it is. It's Prowl. was the name of the Autobot.
Oh, it's like back when they were doing like Animals of the Jungle.
Autobots? No. This is just an Autobot.
Okay.
Sparkplug Witwicky and Prowl provide oil fuel for Brawn and the rest of the Autobots. And Sparkplug Witwicky is giving a barrel to Prowl, and he says, "Optimus was right. It was time to get more fuel." He didn't know just how right he was.
Oh, and wow.
God, isn't that so
I'm like, already hooked in, yeah.
But then Prowl says, "Drink deep, men. We have a battle to win."
Hell yeah.
And that is just so Suzanne, you know?
I'm inspired.
I would love to read these books sometime.
I would love that. That sounds great. And the taste that you've given me has made me even more insane in the membrane. I was thinking that we might like to talk more about this particular book that Suzanne Wayne
If you think.
Yeah. I didn't listen to what you said, but holy crap, a lot happened in this book. Stacy and Claudia
Sterling. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. She wrote 5.
Okay, I need you to get off of that.
Transformers books.
Okay. This is, I feel like we made a deal. And
I'm on the Transformers wiki.
Okay.
tfwiki.net. Yeah. And I'm on Suzanne's page on the Transformers wiki.
Okay.
And they have a picture of Suzanne here, and under it they have a little caption, and it says, "Meanwhile at the Wayne Manor." Meanwhile at stately Wayne Manor. And that's good.
And that's awesome. And it also means that people like are like huge Wayniacs over in Transformers world. We should find a Transformers podcast and do a crossover just on the Wayne stuff. That's a good idea.
Regina Wave.
And you Regina must
Wayne.
Leave.
There's I a need second you to Wayne.
Stop. I need urgently.
Her sister
need you to
Regina
stop
Wayne
this.
Also produced Transformers materials as
I'm
a freelancer.
Stage an intervention.
She wrote 2 books. Okay. Okay. I'm done.
Are you sure?
No, but I'm closed the page, so.
Okay. Let's talk about this book. Claudia Stacey.
I feel
fighting.
Like intoxicated. Okay.
I know.
From that.
Yeah. I'm drunk from it too, frankly.
And also 2 margaritas.
Also,
too.
I've had a couple beers. Stacy and Claudia are still fighting.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, it sucks.
And then, like, Marianne gets in this, like, fucking tiff with Christy where she's like, maybe she becomes, like, fucking Othello. You know what this is? This is Othello. She becomes.
She's on
like,
the island and the storm is coming.
No, that's Tempest.
Oh, okay. She has poison in her ear and she dies and her brother and son.
That's the play fight. With. Play within the play of Hamlet.
Okay.
It's Othello. Let me not name it to you. You chase stars, he says. And he's talking about jealousy. It's jealousy, right? Because he gets it in his head.
What, poison?
No, that Desdemona's cheating on him. And that's what happens to Marianne, right? Is she's like,
yes,
she suddenly becomes convinced for no good reason that like fucking, like she breaks up with Logan and then she's like, oh, Christy's going to take him to the fucking dance. Christy's not going to take Logan
she sees
to the
them,
dance.
She sees Logan and Christy like laughing at one another in the hallway one day.
Yeah.
And becomes convinced that Logan is pursuing her and wants to take her to the dance. But Christy just wants to continue to be friends with Logan.
Yeah, that's all she fucking wants.
Except Jack... May I read a passage to you?
Sure.
And you can tell me whether or not you sound this sounds innocent to you.
Yeah, okay.
Or if it sounds like two people who are...
canoodling. So you're suspicious. You're Othello, too, in this.
I'm also Othello, and I'm chasing stars as well. I backed away a few steps, then turned and walked away quickly. My stomach growled, and I realized I was hungry for lunch. But as I turned a corner in the hallway, I stopped short. Logan stood in the hall talking to Christy, and they were laughing.
Okay.
Christy even put her hand on his arm.
Okay.
And she laughed.
Okay. Okay.
And that does that sound like innocent, non-romantic, non-sexual friendship to you, or does that sound like arm stuff to you?
It does sound
and
like...
And do we know,
yeah,
Jack, what Christy's signature... Move is.
Yeah, it's doing arm stuff and putting her arms on or around other people's arms.
Mm.
Okay. I was ready to push back on this, and I still am skeptical, but you do build up a compelling wall of evidence. that there's no other way to see this but that Christy and Logan are arming each other.
They're doing arm
in the
stuff,
hallway.
Certainly. Well, Christy's doing arm stuff to Logan, at least.
They're just, like, flailing their arms at each other and, like,
laughing. She's, feeling his arms. Yeah. Oh, your arms are so strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, do you mind if I touch your arms with my arms?
Wow. And you're... So, okay, so do you want to amend your original stance on this?
Yes. Yes. Marianne has every right to be jealous.
And when Marianne confronts Christy at the apple orchard, which
yeah.
we didn't, neither of us got into. There's an apple orchard.
I want to talk about the apple orchard in relationship to the Garden of Eden.
Okay, that's not what I was going to say. Let me just quickly get through my point. Marianne didn't mention the arm stuff.
Right.
And Christy didn't bring it up either. Marianne says, I'm mad because I think you and Logan are canoodling.
Right.
And I'm worried that, like, I would be upset if he asked you to the fall fling.
Yeah. And Christy's like, maybe he did.
What if he did?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I the arm stuff complicates things so much.
Yeah.
Because we know it's Christy's thing.
We know it's what gets her going.
Right.
It's some kind of arm stuff. Arm adjacent, right. Play.
Yeah.
It's a good way of saying it, right? And then she's doing arm adjacent
play.
Fine
way of saying it, I would say.
Probably the handsomest guy in school. He looks like Cam Geary. He's newly single. And the first thing that she does with him is arm adjacent play.
His arms are fucking like...
Fucking like guns.
Suspension bridge
fucking
cables, too.
Yeah. Yes.
He's like... he's on the fucking football team. He's on the baseball team. He's on the track team. You better believe that guy's got fucking pythons.
He has a football moment in this book that I do want to talk to you about, and I'm like torn because I have like a pretty in-depth analysis ready to go that is related to the prelapsarian state and the Garden of Eden and apples falling from trees and the apple orchard. But on the other hand, there is this football moment in the book, and I really feel like I should talk about that instead. And
okay.
May I?
Yes.
Oh, and you know what this is?
What?
American sports!
Sports. Yeah.
And it suits all segments, and we can do all of them. Okay, listen to this and tell me if this is football.
I have to do all of them, I would say.
Yeah, can you tell me if this is football?
I will tell you if this is football.
Okay. So at some point, I don't know if you mentioned this in your description, I was playing the 60-second Burger Run, which is a very compelling game, and it really is difficult to pay attention to anything else while you're trying to beat it. But at some point, they have like a semi-reconciliation. Like Logan comes, like they've been fighting the whole book. Logan's really upset. And they go to watch a Robin Williams movie at Marianne's house. Logan's like, I'll just come over.
It.
You did. I'll just come over. And then they watch a movie. And like it goes well. And it feels like they're... And this is a bad moment for Logan. Where like it's going well. And then Logan kind of ruins it. Where he's like, oh, this is going so well. Let's get back together. And Marianne's
why
like...
Why can't we just kiss?
God damn it, dude. Like you said you would come over as friends. Anyway. So I was on Marianne's side about that. But while they're getting along... Logan tells this football story, and tell me, is this football?
Okay.
As I poured the soda, Logan began talking about that afternoon's football game. I already knew we'd won, but he told me about a play that had gone wrong yet resulted in a touchdown anyway. I laughed when he said how he'd been totally confused but kept running with the ball because he couldn't find anyone to pass it to. You made the touchdown, I asked. Yes, he said. So let's... work through this and try to unpack it.
Okay. I think I know what this play is called.
Okay.
It's called an option.
Okay. So he's like the running back.
No, he's a quarterback.
I mean, it could be a read option.
I think it's a read option. I think the quarterback had a play in mind, but his guy was covered.
Uh-huh.
And there was a gap in the defense. And he thought, I can get through that.
Right.
And went for and just ran and like did the thing where he went back to like throw the ball.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So
and then just tucked it and ran.
That's not that could be a read option. But here are the problems with that.
Okay.
Two problems. One, for this to make sense, Logan is the quarterback.
Yeah. Do you not think he is?
I don't think he's the quarterback of the football team. I feel like we would know that.
Okay.
But if he is the quarterback, he would know that sometimes you scramble. Right?
Like okay,
You can't find anyone to pass it to, and then you fucking, like, run. He wouldn't be like, the craziest thing happened. There was no one to pass it to, so I fucking did a very common thing, which is he fucking scrambled.
Here's what's happened.
Yeah.
Logan's ball handler. I don't know what they're called.
Okay, well, the way you said it sounds weird now.
They hiked the ball to
the
Logan's
center.
Ball handler. The center.
Yeah.
And he goes to kick it because he's the kicker.
You think Logan's the kicker?
Yeah. And then he instead picks it up.
Because it's a fumbled snap.
Yes. And then runs it in. And wants to throw it because he's a kicker. He's like, I have no business having this ball. And I need to give it to someone who's more competent. But we don't have any catchers on the... We don't have any receivers on the field because it was supposed to be a kick play.
And he's like trying to pass it.
But all he has is offensive linemen who are trying to keep him.
You protected. Would have some receivers. You have your hands, guys, on any special teams play.
Well, they're covered. They're covered.
It makes sense, yeah. And he's scrambling. So Logan's the kicker.
Yeah.
Okay. I doubt that, too. I feel like we would know that.
We would know that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not football. Or, you know what? Maybe Suzanne Wayne is in the world that she's created. Football is just a different sport. It's called football.
Okay.
But it's a different kind of sport.
You kick feet around.
Or it's us. Okay.
Severed feet.
That's
the ball is a foot.
Yes. Okay. And that's what it is.
And you throw it and you kick it around.
Yeah.
And the point is it's not allowed to touch the ground.
Yeah. And in a world that fetishizes arm stuff, they're doing this like foot stuff as their main sport.
Football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That makes sense. American sports.
Let's take a break and then let's talk about the Garden of Eden.
Okay.
Do you want to say goodbye?
Nope.
Okay. Hey, everybody. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Apples.
Apples.
Apples. They go to a fucking apple orchard.
Yes.
The resonance is insane.
It's yes.
wild. We
okay,
know,
right.
Tanner.
And what are we talking about?
That Logan is a snake in the grass.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yep.
Right?
Okay. I'm up to speed. Yes. Logan
and then,
is a snake in the grass.
At this moment, this book is a the squeakquel to this novel. Is Logan Likes Marianne, number 10, the book where Amber Theory starts, where the snake in the grass is introduced, where Logan first infiltrates the Babysitter's Club and takes what is special and what is infinite and what is powerful about these girls and corrupts it and puts us into the cycle that is the
well,
sitter's cycle.
And inspires Anne
yeah,
to trap them in Amber.
To keep them. Yes, exactly. And then now in this book, which is a squeakquel to that novel, but is also about the Friends Forever series, which is where the Amber has started to melt and they are finally free. They go to a fucking apple orchard.
Right. So that they can be tempted one last time.
Last time? I don't know, but the resonance is incredible. It's actually an apple slash pumpkin orchard.
Yeah. Apple orchard pumpkin patch.
Is pumpkins where ghosts live is the only thing I could think of? Is that what that is?
Pumpkins is where ghosts live, yes.
Isn't it? In Halloween?
Yeah. In what? In Halloween?
In Halloween, pumpkins is where ghosts live.
Yes, pumpkins is where ghosts lives in Halloween.
I don't want to get out over my skis here. And tell me, don't just agree with me because I'm saying it. Tell me if you think that I'm right. Because I don't want to embarrass myself. But pumpkins is where ghosts live in Halloween, right?
I'm not an expert.
Yeah.
By any means.
Yeah.
But I have heard that pumpkins is where ghosts live.
Right?
On Halloween.
On Halloween, it's where ghosts live. Right? Yeah.
So ghosts live in pumpkins. This is the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
The snake, the serpent is there tempting. Well, he's not there, but he's there in spirit. Except this is an inversion on the Bible, because in this version of the Bible... In Anne's version of the Bible, in Suzanne's
version
of the Bible.
The apples represent a return.
And Marianne is not tempted by them.
The apples represent, in the Bible, it's a moment where they move out of this infinite paradise into the finite human world. And that is what's happening. In the Friends Forever series, right?
That is true.
The snake has done its work. Right? And maybe that's what Anne is saying, is that Logan is finished. We don't see the snake again in that same form. Logan's work is done. Marianne
so
finally
these,
took
these
the apple.
These books, until now, have been...
Pre-lapsarian.
They've been... Yes, it's been a glimpse into paradise.
Mm-hmm.
The entire series up until now, except for the first 10 books, which exists in this weird space where even God didn't know.
Yeah.
It was like the creation.
Yeah.
You
the
know?
Cosmos is just like just chaos. Yes.
Yeah. And then God figures it out. He's got his paradise. Or she, sorry.
Yeah. Man.
She's got her paradise on Earth. She has her beautiful creations trapped there endlessly.
And then it spins out of control. And the snake is part of it. And it's Logan.
Oh, and the snake was there the whole time, too.
Yeah.
In the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve.
Et in Arcadia Ego. But, okay. Let me advance this narrative a little bit, if I may. A man we have not talked about much is Jeremy Rudolph.
Right. And you think he's Jeremy Piven?
Same snake, different grass.
Okay, right. Okay, yes.
Jeremy Rudolph is Claudia's, is Stacy's new boyfriend, who fucking sidled in to the club and ripped it apart better than Logan ever could. By driving a wedge between the strongest friendship in the club.
Right.
Between Stacy
and now all these like
Claudia.
Offshoot friendships are happening. Like Claudia and Marianne spend a lot of time together this week.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable for me.
It made me very uncomfortable.
And and Marianne and Christy are kind of are fighting because of this Logan stuff. And then Claudia and Stacy aren't even talking to each other in this book.
But like Marianne and Stacy are also kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Like Stacy's just like trying to get like Marianne's dick wet.
Okay, and that's unfortunate that you've said that. I wasn't even really paying attention, and she kind of brought me back into it with something that you said that I'm gonna have to kind of grapple with.
That's all Stacy's concerned
Stacey's
about.
Stacy's desperate to get married. Stacy's like, and Stacy, I love you, but I also don't. Like,
no, and I don't, and I will say the same, except I don't love you.
I don't. Stacy's like, the whole book, Stacy's just like, Marianne, you've been broken up with Logan for like one whole day. Like, why aren't you fucking back on the scene? Like, why don't you take someone else to the dance?
Get out there and get your dick wet.
Yeah, why don't you, hey, Marianne, why don't you take one of Logan's friends to the fucking dance? Like, fuck you, Stacy, it's been a day. Like, and like, Jesus, they've been dating for years.
Stacy sucks in this book. Do we have a segment about Stacy sucking?
No, we just talk about it a lot. We call her Snakey, I think, now in the
Snakey
Friends Forever series. Here's what I want to say briefly.
Snakey sucks.
While we're talking about snakes, but before we move fully on.
Okay, yes.
Jeremy Rudolph.
Oh, Tanner, right. You were talking about Jeremy Rudolph.
I looked up the name Rudolph.
Okay, it's German.
It's an ancient Germanic name deriving from two stems. And I'm not going to attempt to pronounce them because they're like some fucking serious ass ancient Germanic shit. But the first stem.
Is it Rue and Dolph?
Yeah, it's basically Rue and Dolph. Yeah. So I did try to pronounce them. And I don't know. Someone will fucking call me out. Anyway, the first stem, the Rue stem.
You weren't just off. It was tasteless.
Yeah. It's not Dolph. It's Ulf. It's Ulf.
Ulf.
Ulf. The first stem, the Hru part, means fame or glory or honor. And the second stem, the Ulf part, means wolf. So Jeremy Rudolph's name means fame wolf.
Ooh.
And
that's
he's
cool.
Fame wolf.
What does Jeremy mean?
Jeremy means God will uplift or God will loosen.
Okay, so God will let loose
the fame wolf.
The fame wolf.
And that's something, isn't it?
Wow.
And that's what Anne was like, all right, Scholastic, you made me wrap this shit up and you made me like try to clean up my own mess because of I fucked up and I fucked up this world. But guess what? Anne is going to let loose the fucking
fame wolf
as my final action.
That's good.
And she did, and it destroyed the whole club. She's like, okay, fine. Okay, I've only got 12 books to do it. Sure. Okay, well, I'm going to destroy the entire club by letting loose the fame wolf.
She's like, I've only got 12 books to do it. I'm going to destroy the entire series in book -1.
Yeah.
Everything changes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave fucking Suzanne Wayne to leave. Clean up
to fucking
mess.
Like, but she's gonna have to be like fending off a fucking wolf the whole time.
The fame wolf is here, and she could feel that as she was writing this book. She's like, God, I gotta keep an eye out for the fucking fame wolf.
Yeah. On a positive note, one nice thing about the amber having melted. Can I just briefly read you this very short passage? So Marianne still has a babysitting gig, and I would call it good, clean babysitting fun, except it's like sad, somber babysitting misery.
Yeah.
She has to honor a gig with the Bruno family, even though she's like broken Logan's heart. And she goes over and she looks after the Brunos. And let me read you this very brief passage where the Bruno kids are like mad at Marianne.
Hunter and the other one.
I get it, Hunter exclaimed. I used to like this kid named Tyler, but now I think he's a big bully. Yesterday he hit my friend. Now I hate him. And so he does understand the idea of kind of falling out of like with someone.
Yep.
Tanner, his allergies are gone.
Hunter, oh wow. Hunter Bruno's not speaking with his signature like nasal blockage.
Yeah, and set him free.
It just goes to show you that, like, sure, Marianne and Logan are broken up. Claudia and Stacy are fighting, and who knows if their friendship can be recovered. The fame wolf is on the loose.
Yeah.
But there's a silver lining.
Yeah, Hunter's okay now. Because
Hunter Bruno isn't speaking through
that poor fucking kid
nose.
He was just collateral damage. He got caught in this fucking amber, this like fucking like frozen snow globe that Anne created to like keep the girls innocent, and like she accidentally did it at a time when Hunter Bruno was having a bad allergy attack.
Right.
And one of the nice things, now that the ice is melting, he's okay now. So it's not all bad.
It's not all bad. Although the thing about ice melting, which is bad.
Yeah, in general.
Is every now and then something can be freed from the ice, which is good. Mm-hmm. But every now and then the thing that's freed from the ice is like an ancient amoeba that humans aren't equipped to deal with and it kills everyone.
Right. Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Often, that's bad. Actually. Most of the time. Yeah.
Most of the time. So yeah. I think we should just be pretty careful. Jack.
Yeah.
Do you have a segment you want to introduce?
I could.
Okay.
Do you want me to?
Yeah.
Or did you want... It sounds like you were asking me because you wanted to.
No. So, I want you to.
Okay, right?
I don't have any other notes, yeah.
Here we go. Beep. Beep.
Bah.
Oh,
ba-da-da.
Fuck you.
Ba-da-da.
Be black. Yeah. Back in black. And it's back in black. And
back
I can't...
Black,
I was going to introduce a typo negative, which is what those beefs were, which would
be
fun.
Unnecessary. I thought you were just like leading me in.
I don't.
That was like a metronome tick, you know. Like,
feel bad about it because Pete Black is in this one in a big fucking way. And thank God you remembered to talk about Pete Black because I forgot.
Marianne.
That's another one. Stacey's like, on Stacey's like fucking get your dick wet campaign, she's like, what about Pete Black?
Marianne, I had the greatest idea, Stacey said to me in the hall the next day just before lunch.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't think about it before. What? I asked. Pete Black. What about him? We'll get Pete Black to take you to the Fall Fling.
Hell
she
yeah.
smiled proudly as if she'd said something unbelievably brilliant that was about to make both of us millionaires.
And it would if you fucking took her advice, but yeah.
Her smile slowly faded, probably because I wasn't smiling back at her. What's wrong with Pete? She asked. He's a great guy. I got to know him much better when we worked together on that video project for the movie making class.
A reference to Stacey's movie, the penultimate Babysitter's Club book.
And he's cute, don't you think? Pete's nice. I agreed.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
There's more, she said eagerly. Stacy moved closer to me and lowered her voice. Emily Bernstein told me that Pete said to her, wait until you hear this. Marianne won't be single for long. He thinks you're really pretty and nice.
Whoa.
Pretty
Man,
and
if
nice?
Someone called me pretty and nice,
I would fucking die.
Is it a threat?
You're pretty and nice.
We know that Pete has been canceled before.
Did we cancel him?
I think he got canceled for being mean to a Parisian girl who dressed like a pig.
Beth.
Yeah.
I think that was her name. Yeah.
I think we canceled Pete. And so is he bad? And by she won't be single for long, does he mean that she will be dead soon?
I mean, that's the binary, right? If like the Sphinx, if you went to the Sphinx and you were single and you're like, hey, Sphinx, like I'm single, like will I be single next year? And the Sphinx is like, no, you won't.
And like, you leave thinking like,
oh I'm going to find a fucking partner.
And then you fly home from Caro and you like.
Yeah. It's like, no, you're not
even.
Your
plane goes down.
You're actually in pieces.
Yeah. I said Caro and what I meant was Cairo.
Cairo.
Yeah, okay. That's the name of the city.
So that's interesting. No, I don't think Pete is canceled. He's uncanceled because he's fucking great. And he said that Marianne's pretty and nice.
And he's handsome. Ooh. And he's good looking.
Yeah.
According to Stacey, who's got good taste in boys.
Yeah. And he's fucking badass. He's so cool. And like Stacey does try to set them up. She's like, Marianne, let's walk by Pete's locker.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's like, oh, God, look, you're both not, don't have anyone to take to the fucking Fall Fling.
Right.
Oh, I just realized class is starting. And Pete's like, Marianne, do you get the feeling we're getting set up? And she's like,
Southern accent.
No, it wasn't Southern. It was just cool.
New England accent.
I'll just try to say
Kennedy.
It cool. Marianne, where'd you park the car?
Nasalier. Marianne.
What? Marianne. Where did you park the car?
That's good.
Do you have the feeling that we're being set up in this moment? This one
I think
moment?
I just, I think I just vocal coached you into like not bad like Kennedy accent.
I regret that I have but one girl to take to the fall fling. You
I'm
did
add that to my fucking resume.
You did a great job, and I feel good about my Kennedy impression, and I would not have gotten there without your vocal coach. Mm-hmm. But he's like, yeah, I think we're being set up, but since we're here, you want to go to the fall fling with me? And she's like, no, I just broke up with my boyfriend of 10 years or 1 year. It's difficult to tell in this infinite timeline.
Marianne is so like even keeled about all of this, yeah, in a way that I just never would be.
Yeah.
She's so reasonable and so like emotionally intelligent. Like people keep asking her out and she's like, guys, I just like, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Like I'm flattered, but I'm not interested. Like I just broke up with my boyfriend of 10 years. And I'm only 13, so
yeah.
While we're talking about the kind of Amber Theory stuff, she did see a vision of herself at 15, and the cracks are forming, and it's only a matter of time now, right?
Yeah.
Before the whole bubble bursts.
The whole thing's going to come apart, yeah. No, that is definitely true.
At the very end of the book, she sees herself in the future,
yeah,
outside of her restored home in the barn.
It's very scary. It's like a ghostly figure. So I wonder if there are pumpkins in the barn. And it's like one of the ghosts came out.
Oh, yeah. Right. Because, yeah.
It's a ghost of future past.
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's Ghost in the Machine, too.
Yeah. And it's the Ghost in the Machine as well. Yeah. And it's 13 ghosts. And they're probably, and that's the first of 13. Ghosts. Yeah.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah. Okay. That's a lot to take in, but yeah.
Yeah. And she sees a vision of herself. There's this woman called, hang on, I got to get her name right. Her name is Elise. It's spelled E-L-L-I-C-E.
Yes, she's the...
She's the contractor, but she's like, she plays the role in this novel of like the wise old man of the mountain. Like
the shaman.
She's like the contractor who's helping them. So they're building the house, like the phoenix rising from the ashes. They're building their old house back on the place where the barn used to be. And I want to say a negative thing about Elise. Can I say a negative thing about Elise before I say a nice thing about her?
I would do this. It's called the compliment sandwich. I would do a nice thing about her, mean thing about her, nice thing about her.
Okay, that's right. And it's an actual compliment sandwich. So a nice thing about Elise is it sounds like they're going to do a really good job. She has a vision for the
literally
like, what literally like for what the garden is going to be like, and she tells Marianne she's like, Marianne, I don't even know why she's like having this connection with Marianne. Marianne's just standing there. But she's like, Marianne, what I've learned in this life is that what matters is possibility. And I have learned to see possibility. And I see possibility in you. And I see possibility in this burnt out husk of a barn. And what I see is a garden. And I'm going to make a garden for you. And it's like, damn, I'm glad we hired this contractor.
Right.
Like Mr. Spears, like, fuck yeah. We finally got the right contractor. So that's a nice thing. Here's a negative thing. When we arrived at the burned out place where our house had been, a man and woman were waiting there for us. There are Elise and Bob, our contractors, Dad told me. That's a weird thing to say, honestly. There are Elise and Bob, our contractors, Dad told me.
There they
Hi,
are.
Elise greeted us, smiling. This place really smells like its name. It sure does, Sharon agreed. I got it. Burnt Hill Road. Ha ha. At least their fucking house burned down.
That was their house. And actually, Jack, what you've done.
Yeah.
I can't believe you've done this.
I can't believe you've done this. And it's the meme of the week.
It's not only the meme of the week. It's my...
Yeah, you've got a baby sleeping.
Like 6 feet away from me.
Yeah, my baby's sleeping far enough away that I can shout. Yeah, that was your burn of the week.
Well, it was my main burn, but I guess I'll default to a backup burn. Yeah, it's literally a burn of the week, right? Because the house burned down. And it's like, what a tasteless joke, because like their house burned down.
Yeah, that's a good burn. And here's what I want to say, is just to make you aware, we are in the middle of a compliment sandwich. So I'm going to do my burn, but I need you to keep me honest. Otherwise, we're never going to close up that compliment sandwich and all hell can
break
loose.
Then it'll just be an open-faced compliment sandwich, and we don't.
And then you got to slap someone with
we've
it.
We've made too many of them.
Yeah, we've made too many of them, and it never goes well. Let's see. It's a burn on Marianne.
Okay.
Oh, and it's also a burn on me. I wrote in my notes, it's a burn on me. Okay. And I was like, why is it a burn on me? And the reason it's a burn on me is like I got fully fooled by it.
Right. Okay.
Marianne is moping about her breakup, and she suddenly realizes that there's a Babysitter's Club meeting, and she's only got 5 minutes to get to it. But fortunately, now they're renting the house. It's like right across the street from Christy, so she can get there, but she's got to fucking hurry. And I was like, oh, God, this is so nice. Marianne is hurrying to a BSC meeting. This is what I fucking live for.
Yeah.
So she runs as fast as she can across the street.
You're hurting for it now.
I'm hurting for it.
The BSC meetings have become so irregular.
Yeah, and also fraught because like Claudia and Stacey won't even fucking talk to each other. And there's only four of them.
I gotta say, I don't miss Abby. I feel bad. I feel a little bad saying it.
I would like to see something of Abby and Jesse. I get that Mallory's at boarding school, and I get that Jesse's busy, but like they both still live in Stony Brook. I'd like to fucking see or hear from them.
Jesse's in a different grade. I do miss Jesse a little bit because I think she brought a childish sense of naivete to the group.
I miss Mallory like no one else. I miss Mallory so much, but she's gone.
Mallory's destroyed. Yeah, she's been destroyed. I just don't miss Abby.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine to say.
And I'm sorry about that.
Okay, well,
I didn't dislike Abby. I just like her presence. The absence of her presence has not fazed me at all, I should say.
Abby is Christy, but funny.
Funny.
Let me say my burn. Marianne rushes over to Christy's house for the BSC meeting. Whoa, Marianne, who's chasing you? Christy asked as I burst breathlessly into Claudia's bedroom. Christy sat in her usual spot, Claudia's director's chair, her baseball cap pulled down low on her forehead. I was panting too hard to talk. I think I really set a new speed record. What do you mean? I asked after I caught my breath. Look at the clock. It's 5:30. I just made it. Christy shrugged. I looked at her hard. This was crazy. Christy is practically a maniac, a fanatic about being on time. I gazed around the room. No one but Christy was there. What was going on? You don't care if we're on time anymore? Nah. You can come whenever you want.
Jesus. What?
I stared at her. Christy is the shortest kid in the eighth grade. She has shoulder-length brown hair and brown eyes. She usually wears a sweatshirt, jeans, and sneakers. It's her look. The person in front of me looked like Christy, but she certainly didn't sound like her.
Yeah, I think the same thing.
Suddenly, she burst out laughing. Psych! She hooted. Got psych. You!
Jesus.
You should have seen your face.
She got me, too.
She got me, too.
Ooh. What a rush.
I read that in the same way that you read this, the title of this novel, right up until the word break. So you thought it was going to be about Marianne's big break.
Yeah.
I read that and paused, like, before Christy said psych. Like, literally, this is genuinely
Sarah,
true. And I was
Sarah,
like,
get
Sarah,
in here.
Come here. Cyril, wake up. Wake up.
I have to read you this.
But it was a psych out, and we got psyched out, and it was not, and it's Borat. Do you have anything you want to tell me before we leave and go?
Well, we can do.
I was going to do typo negative. You want to do typo negative?
I don't want to do typo negative. What was the segment you were introducing before we began?
Oh yeah, I got a hit segment. We can do a very brief segment if you'd like. That is the hit segment that is exclusive to this podcast, the Friends Forever podcast, which is called Let's Complain About the Cover.
Okay, yes, let's complain about the cover very briefly.
Very briefly, because we do both have to go. I have to go eat dinner. You have to go walk your dog.
Here's my main complaint.
Okay, I've got a number of complaints.
I have one complaint, so let me just get mine out of the way.
Okay.
The girl that they've selected to model as Marianne
Yeah.
is exactly what I have always pictured Marianne to be.
Yeah.
Except for one thing.
Yeah.
They didn't do her signature bob haircut.
No, this is exactly my point, and this is, I'm glad we're on the same fucking wavelength. Sure, that's what Marianne looks like in books one through whenever fucking Marianne's makeover is.
Right.
This is not Marianne.
This is
what
a
happened
girl
to her
who
makeover?
Looks exactly like what they've always described Marianne as being.
Yeah.
But she has long brown hair.
Up until number fucking 60. I assume it's number 60. I'm not going to check. Until fucking Marianne's makeover, when she gets a fucking beautiful bob haircut, and in real time, let's think about it. I didn't go back and look to see what month of the year Marianne's makeover takes place in, but there is literally no way that she could have grown her hair out past shoulder length in the maximum 11 months.
Right.
Maximum. And that's generous.
This is
that
someone who's been growing their hair out for quite some time.
Since Marianne's makeover. It's fucking bullshit. My other complaint, I don't like her bangs.
Okay, that's aggressive.
I don't like her.
They seem fine to me.
I don't like it.
Okay.
And that's it. And also, who did this? Who did this cover? Reveal yourself.
Reveal yourself, you villain.
Reveal yourself.
Who are you?
Who are you? Say your name.
Do you think we can figure out who this girl is? Who all these girls are? Because it's the same four girls on every cover.
Yeah, we can and should.
Baby Nation, we put this on you to dox these girls.
Yeah, in the nicest way that you can do
gently,
that.
Gently. Gently dox the girls who are on the cover of these Friends Forever books, please.
Yeah.
Can we go to jail for making our listeners dox someone?
I don't know. I guess we're going to find out.
We want to have them on the show.
Yeah. They seem nice.
Okay, great.
Okay, now we're going to leave, and I think we're also going to go. Is that accurate?
I would love to. Yeah, I have to do. I have to go walk my dog.
Okay. What I would like to,
and it's past curfew, so there's like a good chance that I'll get arrested.
Yeah, and your dog,
and the dog. Yeah,
yeah. That would be very sad. Can I say to you, Tanner, that I would like to thank you for bearing with me?
Yes.
Can I say to the Baby Nation that I would like to thank them for bearing with us?
Yes.
Can I say, folks who would like another entire show that's both of us, that is also about the Babysitter's Club, that is about the Little Sister books, that is good, where we sing the descriptions, and it is also a great way to support our work and to keep us doing this for only $5 a month, can go and subscribe to our Patreon over at patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. Yes, I can say that.
You can say that.
Yeah.
And the other thing you often say,
yeah,
is that I only hear what I want to.
That's Lisa Loeb.
And I talk so all the time.
Yeah, that's so. Lisa Loeb, and I do sometimes say that, but it's very unhelpful. I thought what you were going to say is please do buy our merch at bit.ly/BSCCmerch. Yeah, we got shirts, we got stickers, we got a tote. Rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts, and please join the Baby Nation Facebook group. It's where all the action happens. It's all good people. We have a nice time in there. And it's on our Facebook page, Babysitters Club Club. You can find the link to the Facebook group, which is Baby Nation. And that's where all the good stuff happens. Join it. Be smart.
Yes.
What I would now like to say is that this week we read a novel that was called Babysitters Club Friends Forever, number 3, Marianne's Big Breakup. Next week, we are going to be reading a novel.
You almost had me again. you started saying it, and I was just
wow, what's it gonna be?
I perked up. Yeah,
finally her sewing subplot has manifested in a big break at like Louis Vuitton.
Wow, can you imagine?
But no, it's her big breakup and it's over, and they fucking destroyed the romance of the century. Yes, and yes, my heart is broken. Yep. Next week we're going to be reading a little novel called Babysitter's Club Friends Forever, number 4, Claudia and the Friendship Feud. Come on.
I wonder what that's gonna be about.
I hope it's not a fight.
The Fame Wolf strikes again.
God damn it. Fuck this guy. I'm not a fan of Jeremy Rudolph, the Fame Wolf. I'm going to say that right now.
I got to say, I'm more of a fan of him now that I know he's the Fame Wolf.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's cool.
All that remains is for me to say that my name is, and always has been, and always will be, Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
Please remember, 2. Round off the corners in your bedroom. Drown all your dolls. Call your senator and demand your right to bear time. Do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaneys. Remember the Trip Man. Take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now. And the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented.
And I actually heard earlier today a story about ghosts. They stole your beard.
They stole my beard.
And isn't that interesting?
Tanner and I were talking before the show started, and I feel like I have to give some context for it. I had a shaving accident. I actually said this to Sarah, and she was like, "Oh my God, are you okay?" I was like, "Oh no, not like I cut myself badly, but my razor crapped out on me in a way that like made my beard very uneven, and I was just like, I'm going to take it off." And so now I'm a beardless man for the first time in a long ass time.
He looks like shit.
Looks like garbage. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, as a result of my having done that, my child, Cyril Shepherd, has been running around the house for the last 2 days saying, "A ghost stole Dada's beard."
Yeah. Popped out of a pumpkin. Stole your fucking beard.
And then he says, "A ghost stole my beard."
Okay.
And he also does say that a ghost stole Mama's beard.
Okay. So it seems like he's just kind of a little confused.
Well, I don't know. Where else did they go? Oh, and this has been Dead Talk.
Okay, yes. Dead Talk.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.